Welcome to the Smart Investing Podcast, brought to you by Money and Me, an investor education and awareness initiative by PGIM India Mutual Fund.
XIRR, CAGR, small cap, mid cap, I mean, what is going on here? There's so many letters, but what do they all mean? Welcome to Smart Investing by PGIM India Mutual Fund, everyone. Ahalya here, keeping you company, just to set the context before our experts take it away, of course. And on today's podcast, we're going to be deciphering what all those letters and phrases when it comes to investments and wealth management really mean. Because, you know, it's all about knowing the meanings of words in order to see what you're looking for, right? That's what guides a lot of our investment decisions. Because when you see these numbers and you see these phrases, it's hard to make sense of it all. I remember when I first started investing and I got the app and I would open the app and I'd just see a flurry of numbers, data, statistics, and I'd just be like, what does all of this mean? So I, for one, am truly looking forward to the conversation that lies ahead. Ravi and Lisa, of course, will be helping us and guiding us through it all. So stay tuned. And like they're about to tell you as well, you know, today's podcast is a little bit technical because we are talking about technical phrases and terms. So pay very close attention, get out your notepads and make notes if you will, because it's very useful information that is sure to help you in your investor journey. All right, buckle up and let's dive in.
Thanks, Ahalya. A warm welcome to all our listeners. Now, today's topic is a bit technical and I request all the audience to pay close attention to this conversation for the next 15 minutes. The reason I chose this topic is due to a recent conversation I was having with my friend. He started investing in mutual funds a few years back and obviously he was not happy with his returns. He was telling me that the market is up by more than 50% in the last 1 year, but his fund has generated only 18% return. When I inquired further, I found that he had invested in a FlexiCap fund way back in 2021. He didn't know that he was looking at the 3-year CAGR return in his portfolio, and by market, he was referring to the small cap index. Now, this got me thinking, and I had to explain to him that he shouldn't look at the fund's performance in relation to its benchmark over a similar time frame. You really can't compare apples and oranges. I think many novice investors would be dealing this kind of challenge of understanding how their funds show returns. So it is pertinent we discuss this topic in detail. You're listening to Smart Investing and I have with me Lisa, who will help our listeners understand how to analyze the returns of their funds. Welcome, Lisa.
Hi, Ravi.
So, Lisa, what most investors tend to do is that they look at the past 1 year performance and, you know, they tend to invest in those funds. So any thoughts on this?
Yeah, Ravi, like, you know, you were saying, it's so true. Firstly, people are comparing apples to oranges, just looking at a return number per se. They just look at a return number and then they think of that and they compare it with something else without understanding really what it is representing. And what we find is that most people just look at the past 1 year return when it comes to choosing a mutual fund scheme to invest in. Now, there are multiple issues with doing that. Firstly, no one scheme will be the best performer every year. In effect, what you're doing is investing in the best performing scheme of the last year, right? Because it's a 1 year return. How a scheme performs in the previous year is no barometer for its future performance, really. So I guess what I'm saying is that you need a wider range of returns to analyze performance more accurately. And as you mentioned earlier, this is a technical subject. So, you know, people really need to listen in a bit more closely. So equity stock returns are a reflection of the earnings growth of a company. However, the stock returns tend to pick up in expectation of those earnings. And then over time, it normalizes. What that means is that when the expectation is that earnings are going to do better in the future quarters than, say, they did last year or, you know, few years previously, stock returns will start reflecting that expectation and moving up even before the actual event of better earnings are published. Then, as I said, over time, they normalize. So, you know, they won't keep moving up. They'll tend to, you know, depending on how far ahead stock returns have moved, prices will start to either stagnate at one level, move sideways, or even correct or move down because they've already moved up quite a lot. Because often prices do run up too much in a short period. So So then over time, like say 3 to 5 years, the trajectory of the stock returns with this run up in 1 year, correction in the next, will show a more measured kind of move up. An equity mutual fund scheme is nothing but a portfolio of these stocks, right? So similarly, in one equity scheme, you may have a great year with returns running up in expectation. It may be followed by a year of normal kind of returns. That's why looking at the immediate past 1 year return says very little about long-term prospects of a scheme. Moreover, you can't really analyze how consistent the scheme is by just looking at the 1 year return. Every equity scheme should at least aim to outperform its benchmark, like that's the bare minimum. But even that needs to be seen over a broader time frame than just 1 year. Also, sitting today and looking at the previous 1 year return means you're looking at just one data point, right? How did the fund do from 365 days ago to today? Now, this can change tomorrow or a month later, or it could be different, you know, a month ago. So rather than just looking at one data point of the last 1 year, you need to consider not only a broader time period of 3 to 5 years or more, but also more data points within that. So the 3 year return on every day for the last year or 2 years. This sounds like a lot, but it's all doable.
Yeah, I think Lisa, at the end, what you're referring to is what's technically known as rolling return. Now, before we get into that, let's talk a bit more about this broader time period, which you were alluding to. Is there an ideal time period to measure returns? And what if I want to compare two schemes, but one of them has not completed, say, a 5 year time?
Yeah, that's right, Ravi. So I was talking about rolling returns, but coming to your question of broader time period, to be honest, Ravi, equity assets are meant for a long term holding period. How long? Well, longer the better. What we do know is that the broad market benchmark has roughly delivered above 10% annual return 75 to 80% of the time in the last 20-30 year period. And this is 10-year return, what we are talking about over the last 20-30 years. And that also, it has given negative returns just 5% of the time in a 10-year return period, again, you know, seen over the last 20-30 years. Now, assuming our economy grows at the current rate and continues to do so, there is no reason to assume that this probability or this kind of dynamic will change for our market benchmark. Now, when I say annual return, I do not mean the last 1 year return. What I'm referring to is something called the annualized return or the compounded annual growth rate for any investment. Especially real estate, you know, we talk about returns in absolute terms, right? I invested 20 lakh in that house and now it's worth 40 lakhs. It's doubled. There is something missing in this, but, and that's the time period. 20 lakh growing to 40 lakhs in 2 years is very different than the same doubling happening in, say, 10 years. At 7.1-7.2% yearly return, your money will double in a fixed deposit also in 10 years. Now, that's not the same expectation you have from equity or real estate, right? The need for analyzing return like this comes when you are comparing two or more investment options, as you were saying, whether it is equity versus real estate or picking, you know, from two or three schemes from this vast choice that one has already. In short, the time period over which you analyze return should be accounted for in the calculation itself. So instead of looking at return in its absolute dimension, 30% or 40% or whatever your absolute point-to-point return is, you must look at the annualized return. Here we are converting a long-term absolute return in terms of an annual number, which can then be used to compare different schemes or different investment options over different periods of time. So a doubling of money, for example, in 10 years is roughly, you know, 7.2%. annual return, a doubling in 5 years is close to 15% annualized return. In both cases, the absolute return is 100%, right? But would you prefer an investment where it happens in 10 years or the latter where it happens in 5 years? And how do you assess that? The difference is represented by the annualized return or the CAGR. And you can compare any scheme over any time period using this. Mutual fund schemes by regulation are required to publish only their annualized returns, as absolute returns can be confusing, especially if you're comparing two different time periods, as you were asking. When it comes to market-linked investments like equity mutual funds, as we spoke earlier, the absolute annual return can become very volatile. Thus, looking at the CAGR return over at least, 3, 5, 10, 15 years is a better way to compare. Again, longer the better in terms of how long should you, look at returns when you're analyzing scheme performance.
Yeah, Lisa, I think a very important point that you highlighted, that people, compare their real estate returns with the fund's return. But what they actually don't take into account is that in a real estate, they have to pay, taxes, society maintenance, and all of that stuff, which is not accounted for. Now, that's a lot of return discussion, but obviously it's an important discussion. Investors must always consider the CAGR return rather than the absolute return when they are comparing two funds. But this can be also done in a rolling return manner also, like which you mentioned earlier.
Yes, absolutely. It can be done, and probably is a better thing to do. What rolling returns do is show you the performance of a scheme on every single day for the period you have chosen. So 3-year return today, yesterday, tomorrow, and so on, right? The return that you are calculating for this every single day can very well be CAGR or annualized return rather than absolute return. So every single day of the week, how did my fund perform compared to another fund if I consider the 3-year annualized return? That's what rolling return is doing. Of course, you can't sit and analyze, 365 data points, because that's what you will get if you're looking at rolling returns on a daily basis for 1 year. What you can do to analyze return is plot this data on a chart. So you'll see the movement, whether, your fund return for whatever period you're considering is volatile on a daily basis or not. Or if that's not working for you, then take the average return for the data set, which will give you a good idea of what the scheme has done over the period you considered. Also, you don't actually manually have to calculate this. There are sites which publish this information, and maybe the asset manager can also give it to you. You just need to know what to look for when you are considering return as a tool of comparison in choosing schemes. So annualized return or CAGR is better than absolute return, and rolling return with several data points is better than point-to-point return.
Right. Now, Lisa, a lot of people are investing through the SIP route, and I know a lot of investors would have different, time frames. They would need money at some point of time. They would withdraw funds, they will invest, and, there'll be dividends and all of that. So is there another metric which people can use for calculating, cash flows, especially when they're investing through SIPs?
Yeah, Ravi. So now we are getting really technical, right? But I'll try and explain this as best as I can. There is something called the XIRR return. Precisely for this, when you're investing, via SIPs, so your investment inflow is coming on different dates. And also you could be redeeming small amounts here and there whenever you like. Let me explain what this calculation does and who needs to look at it. But what I wanted to let people know is that you don't have to, again, calculate this yourself, but you need to know what you are looking at. XIRR is nothing but an extended, what we call internal rate of return. What is the internal rate of return? Well, that's what a basic investment return is. So you invest money on day one, remain invested for 365 days, receive a sum of money after this period. The return you make is your internal rate of return. And assuming no other transactions for a 1 year period, the internal rate of return is the same as your absolute 1 year return. Let's say instead of just one lump sum investment at the start, you are investing through the SIP facility and putting in a fixed amount on the same date every month. Even here, calculating an IRR, which is internal rate of return, or a CAGR, which is the compounded annualized growth rate return, will work. Where this will not work is when you do tend to withdraw partially from time to time from the scheme you have invested in or you may have stopped your SIPs and are then withdrawing some amount irregularly. Or if you want to measure the return of a portfolio of schemes where the start point for each investment may be different and the SIP dates may be different, and there could be some ad hoc withdrawals as well. So you see cash flow, inflow, outflow is happening at different points in time. Then when you're trying to measure return or the performance rather, in such events where cash flows in and out of a scheme or a portfolio is uneven, you need to calculate what we call XIRR to give you an accurate picture. This calculation takes into account the different time periods involved. So yeah, it's useful for portfolio return calculations and for scheme return calculations where flow of money is not fixed or made in defined intervals. So Ravi, we have discussed a lot on returns and it'll be tough for some listeners to absorb all of it at once. I really do hope that people will listen to this a few times and then align it with their portfolios or scheme returns over time to understand the concepts of absolute return, CAGR analyzed return, and the XIRR return better.
Yeah, it's quite a technical concept that we have discussed today, and I would also suggest listeners to, you know, read and visit websites like Money and Me, which is an investor education program that we have. It's a portal, and also refer to the investor awareness material, which is available on AMFI and SEBI websites to really understand how to analyze the returns of your mutual fund portfolio. To wrap up, I would like to summarize a few learnings for our audience. Each of these measures which we discussed earlier gives investors different insights into how their investments are performing. The absolute return tells you the total gain. CAGR shows the average annual growth, while XIRR accounts for timing of cash flows, and rolling returns helps assess the consistency of your fund over time. So you don't have to manually calculate all of these returns. There are websites that help you get this data. And I would also like to give a few simple guidelines for investors. The returns published by fund houses on their website will be different from your own returns because of your timing of investment will obviously differ. So always compare the return within the same peer set. For example, compare the FlexiCap fund return within the same category and index, and not with a small cap or a mid cap index. And it's best to avoid investing in fund by looking at just its recent 1 year or short-term performance. There's no guarantee that it will sustain. And like always, we have been recommending, it's always best to consult your MFD or RIA before taking any investment decision. With that, we come to the end of this episode. And thanks once again, Lisa, for making this concept really easy to understand for our listeners. And we'll catch you in the next episode soon. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Ravi. And yeah, this was good fun actually, trying to simplify such a technical concept.
I think I can speak for everyone when I say that that was a very informative podcast, but also really cleared our heads, right? I think we've really understood the meanings of a lot of things. And I love that Lisa always leaves us with a little bit of an exercise to do, right? So we can actually take our investment portfolios and try and cross-check and verify this information now. I think that that is going to be something that I'm going to do for sure to understand it better. It's like, you know, when you learn the math formula and then you've got to apply it. I think it's up to us to apply it correctly. Thanks once again, Ravi, Lisa, for that fantastic conversation and helping us in our journey towards investor awareness. Stay tuned for another podcast in the Smart Investing series. We will be back with more conversations to help you along the way. But like we always say, keep your financial advisor close and trust them with all of your investor requirements. But in the meantime, stay safe and stay happy. And of course, happy investing. Adios.
Mutual fund investments are subject to market risks. Read all scheme-related documents carefully.
You are listening to the Smart Investing Podcast, brought to you by Money and Me, an investor education and awareness initiative by PGIM India Mutual Fund.